Hello and welcome to the SearchSecurity.com SecureReads podcast. Joining us for this edition is Jeff Stanton, PhD, Associate Professor Director of the PhD Program in Information Science School of Information Studies at Syracuse University and the co-author of The Visible Employee, Using Workplace Monitoring and Surveillance to Protect Information Assets Without Compromising Employee Privacy or Trust. Today, Jeff will be reading an excerpt from Chapter 2, How Employees Affect Information Security. Thank you for joining us, Jeff.
Access to shared data. An organization's capability to use its networks to provide employees with access to shared resources is arguably one of the most powerful benefits of computer networking. Through shared access to databases, common documents, business process status indicators, and other resources, employees can divide and coordinate their work in ways that make them more efficient. At the same time, however, the control over shared resources provides one of the most vexing information security problems for information technology staff members. The most valuable information an organization possesses for improving organizational productivity is also usually the most valuable for competitors, regulatory bodies, and industrial spies as well. Every time an additional employee obtains access to a shared resource, that resource becomes somewhat more vulnerable to theft or attack as a result. Of course, the majority of employees working in organizations are essentially honest individuals who would be highly unlikely to destroy or steal firm resources for their own benefit. The success of a single transgressor, however, at copying a customer list, chemical synthesis process, or patent application for the benefit of a competitor can have devastating effects on an organization. Such events are usually quite unpredictable as well, because they comprise a combination of unusual motivations, such as grudges, with serendipitous circumstances, such as an employment offer from a competitor. The process of providing access to shared organizational resources and attempting to minimize the vulnerability of those resources is known as access control. Actually, one step prior to access control comes authentication, which is the process an employee uses to identify herself to a computer system. This identification process usually involves a username and password, and the creation of secure passwords is itself a complex process with which many employees have difficulties. We discuss authentication techniques in greater detail in Chapter 3. For now, keep in mind that authentication is a prerequisite step that then allows an information system to administer access control according to the rights assigned to a particular user. Access control is a rapidly developing area in computer and information sciences, but the actual practice of access control in organizations is still more of an art than a science. In fact, most teams of information technology staff members are sufficiently busy that careful, thoughtful, and timely management of access control is a dream left unfulfilled in favor of more pressing concerns. Several problems can arise as a result. First, employees sometimes request escalation of their privileges in order to complete a task or project whose requirements exceed their usual needs. Afterwards, it is probably not uncommon for information technology staff members to forget to remove the extra privileges. Indeed, the social dynamic between the employee and the information technology staff is such that a privilege, once granted, is very difficult to take away from someone. Removal of a granted privilege communicates the idea that the employee might not be trustworthy enough to handle the privilege responsibly. And this is a message that few people enjoy delivering to a coworker. The employee's supervisor may reinforce this social pressure if the elevated privileges appear to associate with increased productivity. Second, when employees move within the company from one job role to another, or when employees actually leave the firm, their profiles may or may not be updated to reflect the new role. In our research, we have encountered organizations that lacked any coordination or notification between the Human Resource Department and the Information Technology Department. In such cases, the information technology staff may be completely unaware of when an employee's role has changed, even to the extent of not knowing that an employee was fired. As above, the tendency in the organization may be to take the path of least resistance. If removal of privileges is warranted by the change in role, this can be a difficult thing for an information technology staff member to accomplish if the employee wishes to retain the privilege. Finally, the granularity of roles is often too coarse to implement subtle but important differences among employees who work in the same department or who have similar job titles. For instance, a temporary worker hired for a few peak months in an accounting department may receive the same privileges as a long-time employee in the same department, despite the likely differences in organizational commitment and other important characteristics between the two employees. Thus, the basic security implication contained in employees' access to shared resources is that the more people with access to sensitive and valuable resources, the more those resources are at risk. Using access control as a method of helping to ensure the security of organizational information assets and reduce this risk inevitably leads to minor or, in some cases, major mismatches between the needs of employees to access shared resources and the privileges they are actually granted. Usually, the mismatch goes in the direction of giving the employee more resources than are strictly needed. As a result, the main purpose of the access control, to prevent adverse use or loss of the information resource, is often defeated by the messy reality of dealing with the pressing everyday productivity needs of employees. Use of communication tools. One of the most powerful and productive uses of information technology is to use it to enable more convenient, faster, or less expensive communication among employees across distances. Some researchers even lump together generic information technologies such as computers with communications technologies such as cell phones under the term ICTs, information and communication technologies. The breadth of the term ICT is appropriate, given the blurring of the functional boundaries between devices and the convergence in services. A cell phone can be a device to send email and text messages, and a computer can be a device to make phone calls, given the right equipment and service subscriptions. As a result, organizations are faced with a variety of challenges related to the fact that many different technologies can send information across organizational boundaries. In effect, ICTs make organizations porous with respect to information, and this porosity represents a risk insofar as employees may communicate inappropriate messages across the boundary. At least two important issues arise with respect to employee communications across organizational boundaries. First, the organization has a strong interest in maintaining control over its intellectual property. Whenever plans, patents, formulas, engineering data, or research results are sent out of the confines of the organization, the possibility exists that those data will fall into the wrong hands. Second, organizations have liability for information that employees give to clients, customers, regulators, and the general public. Misleading or inappropriate information can provide the grounds for civil or criminal penalties. A particularly salient example comes from the securities industry, where traders and brokers statements about the value or characteristics of various financial instruments are scrutinized by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. In addition, particularly when dealing with text communications, for which a permanent record often exists, there is always a possibility that employees may inadvertently enter the organization into a contract with another organization or individual. On some occasions, courts have upheld that an employee's email on a business matter can serve as a binding legal contract with significant financial obligations. See, for example, Reese Brothers Plastics Limited versus Hammond Sabelco Australia Limited, 1988. On a related note, communications that are internal to the organization can also create a basis for liability, discussed below in greater detail. The clearest example of this is when employees circulate email messages or other materials such as pornography that create a hostile work environment. An employee who feels threatened or is discriminated against as a result of hostile work environment conditions can bring suit against his or her employer for civil penalties, restitution, back pay, and attorney's fees. Similar penalties can be imposed when email or other internal communications records are used to document quid pro quo harassment. For example, when a supervisor solicits sexual favors from an employee in exchange for a promotion. In summary, because communication tools facilitate human interactions from person to person or from person to group, a danger always exists that employees will say something that is damaging to the reputation of the company or that puts the company at legal risk. Likewise, because modern internet-based communication tools also facilitate the transfer and broadcast of digital data, the danger exists that employees will send valuable or inappropriate files to other people inside or outside the organization. In effect, digital communication applications break down the old physical barriers that used to exist around many organizations and make the organization and its environment considerably more interconnected than it was in the pre-internet era. While this degree of connectedness can be a boon for collaboration, cooperation, and productivity, it can also be a security nightmare if the wrong communications go to the wrong people at the wrong time.
Thank you for your insight, Jeff. This concludes today's SecureReads podcast. To find more book chapters and more information, please visit our information security bookshelf at www.searchsecurity.com/bookshelf.